Variation of narratives in resistance movements. Narratives and the life cycle of resistance movements. Narratives serve different functions for an insurgent organization. In this work, we have focused on how narratives help such organizations overcome collective action problems. In addition to this important function, narratives crafted by resistance movements have numerous other purposes, including to indoctrinate new or existing members or to gain external support from a foreign state. In addition, the functions of these same narratives can change over time to adapt to different points in an organization's life cycle. For instance, the narrative an organization adopts when it first forms will be different from the narrative it uses to support itself when it has become fully functional and mature. Unfortunately, little research has been done on these important issues. In this section, we will analyze how resistance movements have adapted narratives to changes in both internal and external circumstances. Numerous experts and leading guerrilla warfare theorists have developed models to explain the phases of an insurgency. Arguably, Mao Zedong developed one of the most widely influential models. In his model, Mao describes the slow transition of an insurgent movement from guerrilla units to a full-fledged conventional force capable of defeating the incumbent government or occupying power. In today's security environment, however, Mao's phasing model is of limited utility. As discussed earlier, direct conflicts between states are rare. Instead, the overwhelming majority of conflicts are civil wars or conflicts between a non-state actor and an incumbent government, and less often an occupying power. Furthermore, most of these conflicts are not terminated by decisive military victories, but rather by negotiated settlements, through which the resistance movements are incorporated into the legal political structure. As a result, analyzing narrative variation according to Mao's model will not provide much analytic leverage in investigating how resistance movements adapt to such transformations. More resistance movements are being integrated into the legitimate political process than in previous decades. Although a thorough analysis of the life cycle of insurgent groups is beyond the scope of this work, other researchers have begun to explore how narratives vary according to the transitions that many organizations undergo throughout their lives. Researcher William K. Spear has constructed an initial phasing model to analyze narrative variations. In K. Spear's simple model, resistance movements begin at an origination point, after which they grow, reach maturity, and oftentimes transform. In the transformation stage, resistance movements might simply die. Others might be co-opted by the state, and some, as described earlier, might be included in the legal political structure as part of a negotiated settlement to the conflict. In the transition from growth to maturity, resistance movements require more robust capabilities to function. K. Spear has divided these into four main functions. 1. Support, resources. 2. Maintenance, internal security. 3. Cognitive, strategic planning. And 4. Conversion, operations, shadow governance activities. In a mature organization, there is congruence between these functions so that all work together smoothly to keep the organization functioning. During each of these points during a group's life cycle, its narrative serves different functions. In the initial genesis stage, resistance movements craft narratives to mobilize followers. Most often, resistance movements craft narratives highlighting unjust acts or situations resulting from an incompetent or illegitimate government. Within social movement theory, these political entrepreneurs are said to use political opportunity structures. These structures are vulnerabilities within a political system that create opportunities for creative non-state actors to challenge the authority of the state. Commonly, these opportunities result from a decrease in repression that lessens the cost of organized political resistance or from divisions within government elites. Sometimes, political opportunities are single acts or a series of acts committed by the government or occupying force that are especially egregious and are not promptly or effectively addressed. For example, in Northern Ireland during the 1960s and 1970s, the Irish Republican Army, IRA, and later the Provisional Irish Republican Army, PIRA, cited numerous acts of police brutality against peaceful Catholic protesters in an effort to persuade the Catholic community that their way of life and neighborhoods were under attack. The acts themselves and the IRA's skillful manipulation of the political opportunity were critical in mobilizing the Catholic community to support the armed resistance of PIRA. In the growth phase, narratives also help resistance movements by reinforcing or transforming cultural identities favorable to the goals and identity of the group. Similar to the concept of frame bridging described in the preceding section, resistance movements can adapt the narrative surrounding an existing identity to better serve recruiting needs. The April 19th Movement, M19, an insurgent group formed in the early 1970s in Colombia, was especially adept at this practice. The founding members of the M19 splintered from existing leftist guerrilla groups, such as the Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia, FARC. To differentiate itself from these other groups, the M19 crafted a narrative depicting the group as an exciting new alternative. The M19 contrasted itself sharply with the rigid, ascetic, dogmatic FARC. Its famous tagline was, "Revolution is a party." This narrative strategy was especially important to the group as it operated in dense urban centers, such as Bogota. Its signature style helped to attract an avant-garde, creative membership that contributed to the group's skill in flair and spectacle. During the critical transformation process, resistance movements use narratives to smooth their transition to different organizational forms. This is especially the case when an organization is transitioning to include a different set of stakeholders, such as when a group transitions to a political party in the aftermath of conflict termination. Instead of needing a narrative to mobilize a population to armed violence, the resistance movement come political party now requires a narrative capable of mustering votes. In addition, part of this transition also requires demobilizing armed soldiers into normalized citizens. Often, this creates ample opportunities for disgruntled insurgents to form splinter groups that complicate the delicate process. An adept narrative and strong leadership are required to successfully weather the challenges. The M19 was among resistance movements in the 1990s that demobilized to enter the legal political process as part of a negotiated settlement with the Colombian government. The final decision to demobilize and form a political party, reached in 1989, took many years. For decades, the M19 had adhered to a deeply ingrained narrative adapted from the Cuban Revolution and other Latin American revolutionaries. According to this narrative, it was imperative to commit to the struggle until death, just as many leftist martyrs, including Che Guevara, had themselves done. This narrative made even the mention of reconciliation or negotiation with the enemy anathema to many in the M19. However, circumstances in the 1980s altered how the M19 perceived the utility of the struggle. This decade began the onset of the so-called Dirty War in Colombia. The Dirty War brought with it kidnappings, extortions, alliances with drug traffickers, and paramilitary death squads, all of which had a horrific impact on the civilian population caught in the middle. M19 members later reported that it was difficult for many in the group to reconcile their part in the ongoing dirty war, which had killed thousands of civilians, with the group's narrative of protecting ordinary Colombians from government oppression. During this period, the M19 began to further distance itself from its sometimes ally, the FARC, after an especially heinous internal purge perpetrated by a FARC offshoot, the Ricardo Franco Front, left hundreds of insurgents dead. The final decision to demobilize came from an internal democratic vote initiated at the Santo Domingo camp, a demilitarized zone. The group had lengthy discussions and debates, sometimes augmented by outside visitors. The final vote for demobilization was cast by 227 of the 230 M19 members present. The decision to demobilize required that the M-19 adapt how it framed its utility to those it wanted to serve and also to adapt how it framed its struggle. As part of its transition, the M-19 shifted its narrative from targeting the military, which were, after all, conscripted ordinary Colombians, to the oligarchy. It adopted the slogan, "Life for the Nation, Peace for the Armed Forces, and War Against the Oligarchy." It was also careful to characterize its transition as a continuation of struggle by other means, not a military defeat. As one former M-19 described, quote, "This process was not the product of a military defeat. Due to the current reality of armed confrontation in Colombia, of its degradation, its barbaric and institutional character, the value of and justification for abandoning arms is reaffirmed." End quote. Ultimately, the M-19 was successful in demobilizing its ranks, even if it failed to prosper as a political party. Resistance movements use narratives in a variety of ways to help them execute key functions needed to achieve their political goals. Throughout this work, we analyze how groups use narratives to overcome the problem of collective action. However, it is important for the Special Operations Forces practitioner to understand how a narrative strategy can shift throughout the life cycle of a resistance movement. The functional demands of a nascent movement are much different than those of a mature organization. We examine how several insurgent groups varied their narrative strategy to meet changing internal and external circumstances.